The music
Blog
is probably
Talk Radio.
I can't even watch it to let you look at the chat room.
You're my life, you're my breath, you're a smile, you're my guest, you're the earth, you're the sun, you're the grass, you are love, you're my hand, you're a bug, you're my eyes, you're a hug, you're the light in the dark, you're the spark, you are fun, you're my mom, you are water, you're the stars, you're my daughter, you're my friend to the end, you're my dreams, you're my father, you're the ants on the ground, the miracles that surround, I'm feeling it all around, the hemisphere in the clouds, you're my pain, you're my sorrow, you're my hope for tomorrow, you're the strength when I'm hollow, you're the path that I follow, you're the blessings that exist, the small things that are bliss, the gift to realize that everything.
All that I am, all that I see, all that I've been and all that I'll ever be is a blessing. It's so amazing and I'm grateful for it all, for it all.
Start looking towards your heart. It'll open all the doors and only then you'll start to hear the world singing chorus with your mind and heart. Aligned to purpose, everything will feel gorgeous.
I sit and pray cause what I have is more than I deserve or could ever imagine. How do I give back to all of this magic and spread the love so everybody can have it? Doesn't matter if I'm rich or poor, if I got a family or if I'm all alone. Bad things happen, I can just complain and moan, but there's a million things that I can be grateful for. The small things that are bliss, the gift to realize that everything is a gift.
But that's okay, tell me if you can hear me. Hello, everyone. This is Cynthia Fontaine. Welcome to Stepping In, Transforming Your Life. Oh, my God, I'm so excited. Tonight we have, or today, if you're on the West Coast, it's still daytime out there. We have Susan Mullen on as a special, spontaneous, last-minute thing. How exciting is that? I know you all love Susan, and I just want to check in with Susan to make sure that you can hear me because I'm broadcasting by candlelight tonight. My computer has gone totally frozen, so I can't take callers tonight, although it looks like I can see you in the chat room. I'm typing in there now. Yes, I can talk in a chat room, but my studio is completely frozen. So I'm not going to be able to take callers tonight. And I hope you can hear me. Susan, can you hear me on the radio?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Well, I'm glad that you can hear me, because I was worried that there was going to be no show tonight. So I have Susan Mullen on the line, and it's going to be tricky because she's on speakerphone. Since I can't pick up her call in the studio, even though she's in the studio. Do you want to hang that call up, Susan?
Yeah, let me check. Hold on.
Okay. Just so you're not on hold there and have your line going. All right. So those of you who have listened before, you know that Susan is a fabulous transformational coach, and she has a new program called Embody Beautiful, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. I'm really excited about this. Because Susan is very intuitive, and she is wonderful at tuning in to each individual person whom she works with. And she also has an exciting event coming up on May 4th in Portland, Maine at Leaping Lizard, with Michael J. Chase. And Michael was on the show about a month ago, and Michael is a Hay House author, and congratulations to Michael. He is now a Hay House radio show host. He has a new show coming on. I'm not sure the exact date, but he'll be on Hay House Radio very soon in the near future. And Susan and Michael are doing an event on May 4th at the Leaping Lizard in Portland, Maine. There are still tickets available if you're in the New England area. It's only $29. It is such a bargain to be sitting in the same room with these two for $29, and it's going to be like being in your living room with them. So it's a very small group there. It's a maximum of 50 people, so this is an opportunity that you don't want to miss if you can get to Portland, Maine on May 4th. I highly, highly encourage you to get your tickets for that event now, because it might be sold out, and then you'll be out of luck. And with Michael's new schedule, who knows when he'll be available again. So, Susan, tell us a little bit about yourself. I gave just a quick little brief, overview. And then if anybody in the chat room can let me know if you can hear Susan okay, that would be awesome.
Okay. Me and Cynthia, thank you so much for having me back. I tell you, it's a huge joy for me. I absolutely love being here. I love your audience. I just feel so at home here, so I just want to say a big hello, big hug to you and everybody, and thank you. You know, it's funny because we talked a little bit today. We always, catch up the day. We're going to do something, and I'm sorry if we, blew up your computer. That could happen because that's what we do, and something always, technically goes awry with our energy, and it's just funny because it's like, what will it be tonight? Well, here it is. So I hope everybody can hear me. And thank you for, encouraging me to talk about Mind, Body, Beautiful and lecture. And it is new, and it's something that took about a year and a half to develop because it was just out there on the fringes of my, what I'm doing, what I'm thinking. And when it came down to paring down what it is I have to say or do or draw from my experiences, I found that with my clients and my intuitive coaching, I'm always talking about connecting the mind, body, and spirit. And I seem to attract the client that wants that harmony. And it's what was part of my life and my struggle. And I sort of, found the way I would band-aid my connections, and finally, I just have a program. It's not like a coaching program, although when I coach, I talk about it, and that's what we do, but the Body Beautiful is more, what I hope to do is, and like on May 4th, is to bring it to audiences or platforms, lectures, workshops, and just sort of one-on-one talk to people. I love the face-to-face. I love a small group and a large group. But it's one of those things where when you can see the face and I can see the person, it's really a great energy connection type of thing. And we just kind of put into perspective, you know, who's in charge. You know, there's three parts of us, the mind, body, and the spirit. So that's sort of the rundown.
Yeah, you know, it's that's a great synopsis. And when we were talking earlier, you mentioned something that I really would like you to talk about tonight, because that really made sense to me, and it really struck a chord for me personally, and I'm sure it will with so many others. And that was about your body being an alien enemy. So when... So I really want to be sure that we talk about that tonight, because when you said that, I went, oh, my goodness, she's right.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I can start in a little bit about that. It's my journey. It's my story.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never, in a real way, talked about it. Like, I've always talked from it, mm-hmm. but not of it. And there's a big difference. We all have our experiences, and we pass on our wisdom, right? But people want to know, how do you know? What do you mean? Do you really know how I feel? So I'm not this Wonder Woman by any means. I mean, I walk through the cold, too. I mean, we all do. That's life. That's our journey. But we get to a point where, what's the gem? What are we coming out with? And what do we have to share? What could we share or pass on to others? And with that, people like to know you went through it too, or you're pulling from personal experience. So I do have personal experience with my body. You know, it's like that's the body part of the disconnect that I had when I was, like, my, okay, so starting back, my story is when I never had like a weight problem or anything like that. I was just an active kid, very, you know, normal, got through high school and all that. And then I grew up, you know, met the man I was going to marry and got pregnant and went, you know, I was thrilled. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, we were engaged. So we got married fairly quickly. I did get married. And, you know, which is fine. And it was absolutely wonderful. But at that point, I just went, I'm pregnant. This is fantastic. I didn't have to think about what I was eating. I didn't really work out the way I used to. I just kind of went, yes, this is awesome. Well, nobody really told me, if you don't, you know, take care of yourself the way you always did, and if you don't watch what you eat, you could really gain a lot of weight and have, really hard to lose after. I didn't know that. I really was very blind going into this, and maybe on purpose, I don't know, but I was, and I gained a lot of weight. I didn't really notice it. I loved being pregnant. Everything was wonderful. My baby was healthy. You know, I didn't have any problems. But when it came, you know, to having the baby and after, I went into a horrible, huge depression. And, you know, okay, I've heard of postpartum depression. I loved my little girl. I loved my husband. I mean, everything was wonderful, and she was healthy. I was blessed in many ways. But I went, wait a minute. I'm a train wreck. Where am I? Who am I? I don't know. I didn't know any. I just felt like my soul was suddenly living very in an alien body, like very alienated from my body, from me. I was thrown into a mother, a wife, you know, quicker than I planned, but that's fine. I was completely 25 years old, an adult. But it was more of the disconnect of, I don't know where I'm living anymore. What is this? I look down. What is this body? I don't get it. I was extremely overweight. I really was. And to be honest, I blocked out, and I tell my husband this, I think he might know the number, I blocked out how much weight I gained. I really did.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot. Okay. So that being said, it happens to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it was new to me, and it was an experience I never experienced. So everything was new. My hormones were crazy, and I loved my beautiful, healthy baby girl. So, the next 10 years, I call it my coma years, because I was in a coma, and I was in the new mommy, the new wife. I had a beautiful baby girl 5 years later, healthy. I didn't gain as much, but I was still in an alien body. I was still not me. I was just somebody. I was an alter ego of myself. I was, like the shell person. After she was born, everything's fine. But I really thought, okay, I'm probably not going to have any more kids. I need to do something. I need to find a connection and live more comfortably in my body. I didn't recognize, nothing was familiar. And it was very uncomfortable for me. But I thought it was my new reality. I thought, I'm just mommy now. I mean, this is what happens to a lot of people. But that's not really true. It was just what was happening to me. And because it was uncomfortable, it was my spirit talking to me going, you can get back. This isn't really the way it has to be for you. If it is for you and you accept it, fine. For some people it is. It doesn't mean I'm wrong or they're wrong. It was just for me and my experience. So that was my disconnect. It's not for everybody, but it was mine. And I just started in with, every single diet there was. I thought I've got to do something, and I tried everything. I even tried FenFen, before mm-hmm. it was killing people. It actually worked. I did that. My doctor prescribed that to me, when it was hurting people, and he took it away.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't concentrate on me enough, and because I was busy. I had beautiful, healthy children, had a great family and life that way. But I was still not. I was the last one to come into the family, as myself again. So, I was trying to band-aid myself and patchwork myself to feel normal again and like more like me. So I worked out and I got down to what I call reasonable, okay, I feel better. And it wasn't until after I started getting into, my spirituality and, getting into my books and all the stuff I'm doing now and even into my coaching that the real connection was made on, my mind and my body. What I never had as a young girl, as a teenager, through high school, a little bit of college and after college, and I never respected or like loved my body for what it did for me. It was always an extension of me. It was the alien. It was never my partner. I didn't see it as an equal. I saw my body as the enemy, in a way. It was always betraying me. It was never quite right. And that's for a lot of people. It starts at age 7. Statistically.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, little girls at 7 are going on diets. That's incredibly yeah. crazy. But I always thought it was something against me. But I realized, my body works 24/7 to keep me alive. Me, my soul. Even when I sleep, my body, my heart is pumping, my liver is getting rid of toxins, everything is detoxing at night and resetting. When I realized that, I felt incredibly sad because I missed out on a great relationship, on a great partnership that was always there. Like we arrived together, we arrived with these bodies, our souls are just thrown into these bodies, and we're partners. So I'm going to hang around this life. I'm going to hang around my children. I'm going to hopefully meet my grandchildren as long as my body is with me. Because when my body breaks down and goes away, I go away. I know my soul is going to journey and all of that. I'm fine. I just don't want it to be as soon as it could be. I need to take care of her. I need to remember she's my partner. We're in this together. If I want to live to see, you know, healthy, and I don't mean just live. I mean if I want to be comfortable and use my life the way I want to, then my body deserves to be right up to par with my soul. So that's sort of embodied beautiful. That's sort of like, that's possible. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And, but we have the three parts of us that one is, you know, in control and out of control sometimes, but we have to just make sure we have our higher self in charge. And if our higher self is in charge, she's in control. She's the leader of our life, not the ego, not the mind chatter, not the body, not the alien thinking. We can't get carried away with any parts of us. I mean, I'm sort of going in a different direction, but that was sort of...
Well, but that, you know, it makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, I can really resonate with your story, and I'm sure a lot of women can. Whether it's gaining weight through childbirth or, you know, gaining weight as you get older, you know, there are lots of reasons why people gain weight. And it never occurred to me until, you know, having our conversation that I, too, have been disconnected from my body. I grew up in a household where, you know, I was told that, oh, if you're not skinny, you'll never get a man. And, you know, I was picked on because I was supposedly heavy, which is interesting because when I look back at pictures of myself growing up, you know, especially my teenage years, I was far from heavy. I was pretty, as my next door neighbor who I used to babysat recently told me, who's now, he's, I guess he's, I don't know, 5 or 6 years younger than I am. He's like, you were hot. You know, so, but I never felt that way because I was always told, oh, you're too fat. You're never going to get a man, that sort of thing. And when in fact that wasn't true, but I never, I've never been a partner with my body in a sense because it's just been like, okay, what is my body going to do for me? My body, God bless it, worked its butt off for 26 years hauling mail around for the Postal Service in all kinds of rain and weather and crazy conditions. And, you know, I mean, God bless it.
Right. That exactly. Look what it has done. And that was part of your livelihood.
Right, right.
So, right.
But then when,
yeah.
You know, something that it, also that really struck me was just about what you were saying, that you, your body works for you 24 hours a day. And our
right.
souls just arrive into these bodies. Well, that's like mind-blowing when you really think about it. Because, and you're right, if the body stops working, you know, you leave this planet, or your body, you know, your soul leaves this planet. And I think I really, really feel that you're going to go so far with this philosophy and with your program because it makes so much sense. Because if you're in a relationship with someone and you want that relationship to be harmonious and work well, how do you handle the relationship?
Right.
You know, you go out of your way to do things for your partner. You know, you compromise and, you know, you take care of your partner and they take care of you, hopefully, if it's a healthy relationship.
That's right.
But if and it's a co-creating where it takes the two of you. And with your body, it's really the same as if you were in a relationship with another individual.
Yes, correct. It's so true. And it's our physical essence. Mm-hmm. And you're right. In our mind, you know, we have the mind, body, and spirit, as mm-hmm. I like to call it, it's which is soul. But the mind is our ego essence, which is fine. It's that's what makes us human and makes us relatable as human beings on Earth. If we didn't have our ego is not evil or negative. Only a negative ego is negative. our ego just keeps us human. It's how we can watch television and pageants and look at the magazines and not want to flee back home.
And drive a car.
We are so much bigger and brighter than that, but we have to have an ego essence to just relate to people here, because most of us are 95% operating on our ego. Our higher selves, our spirit, you know, our soul essence is really trying to just remind us why we're here. We came with a purpose and a passion. Just do it. But you're going to have to really keep in check everybody else around you. You are human. So that's not negative either. It just makes it an even playing field at school. And everybody's on the same playground, but with different jobs to do. So, and then our body, of course, it's just our vehicle. It's our physical essence. So we have these three essences that, you know, we're trying to just keep harmonious so we can get our job done and why, you know, figure out the reasons we came here and to do them. But we get sidetracked often when one is leading the pack and it's not the right one. So it's that balance and harmony that we just need to remember. Every single part of us needs love, including our wounded ego, because that ego is always trying to tell us, remember when that hurt? Remember when you got offended? Remember when your feelings got hurt?
Right.
Well, that's the ego saying, you hurt my feelings. You know, that's okay, but, you know, just look at that part of you and just go, if that is hurting me, if I'm always offended and I'm always insulted, something about me, my ego essence needs love.
Right.
And it needs attention, almost like a parent. So what would you do? You know, you would love them to death instead of hate them to death. So same with your body. Your body is just responding to its conditions. I overfed it when I was pregnant. I abused that thing left and right. I said, please accept this ice cream. Please accept this. I'm just, you know what? I really expect you to keep my baby healthy, and I want to feel good tomorrow. But, you know, I wasn't even considering the job my body had to do. So that was really rude, if I think about it. I was so rude. I just did whatever I wanted. And I paid for it after. I paid for living physically unhealthy and not feeling good after for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it doesn't have to be that way for most people. And it's not that way for most people. It just was for me. But it doesn't matter how you gained your weight or if anybody feels that way or not. But it just means, just remember, there's three parts of all of us, the same three parts. All of the three parts just will respond to love and not hate and disconnect and alien talk and, you know, bashing what we look like. And
mm-hmm.
we aren't going to get anywhere with that. So.
Right, right. And, you know, Susan, in your work, you've also discovered that when we hold on to those emotions and those things when we beat ourselves up, when we say, you know, things like, oh, you're fat, or, you know, who do you think you are, or, you know, just the negative self-talk. You've found in your work that you can also retain weight when you beat yourself up on a psychological level.
That is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
The consciousness of fat is protection.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's true, then our bodies are going to just hang on to weight because something hurts, something isn't right. Connect. We're creating a barrier. We're not trying to. It's all, you know, subconscious, unconscious habits and cortisol. Everything is affected, but our bodies are going to hang on to fat or create fat or build it, even when we're eating the cleanest diet sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's emotional.
Right.
And, you know, and so when that is happening, that's a real good time to look and go, okay, what am I feeling here? What do I need to let go of? What am I thinking? Who am I listening to?
Right.
Who's just talking in my head? And do I need to cut some, you know, energetic cords? Do I need to look at things and see what's mine, what's not, what belongs to me, what belongs to my mother, my father, my aunt who harps on me. You know, there's stuff at work and all kinds of things that we just carry and accept and don't deal with health in a healthy way that will accumulate somewhere. And with a lot of people, it's on our bodies.
Right, right. And
with other people, it's not. It's mm-hmm. extra shopping. It's other detour crazy behaviors.
Right.
I don't use that word negatively. I mean, you know, sporadic and different behaviors than we would normally do.
Right. So, you know, it seems like your program Embody Beautiful would be beneficial to everyone or anyone, even if they didn't have a weight problem, because like you said, oftentimes things may not show up in your weight, but it may show up in, you know, shopping or other types of distracted behaviors. And I know for me personally, when I put on my weight was after I got married, and I was married to an alcoholic, and I didn't realize that he had a drinking problem until we had been married for a year. And I got a job that I didn't want, and I was sort of pushed into that, and I worked with that career at the post office for 26 years. And in the end, I loved what I did. I was, you know, I felt like it wasn't just my mission to deliver mail, but I was delivering messages and I was helping people out there, which I got in a lot of trouble for because my bosses used to get mad because I talked to all my clients, all my customers. But, you know, I gained a lot of weight. I gained 10 pounds the first year I was married. And even though I was walking, you know, for sometimes 6 hours a day delivering mail, I gained 10 pounds, and then it was 5 pounds the next year. And then when I had my second son, after I had my first son, I took the weight off, you know, right away within 6 months. And then, but with my second son, even though I nursed him for 11 months, I didn't lose a pound. From the day, the moment I had him, I didn't lose any weight. And I was being careful about what I was eating. And then I never lost the weight. And then I put another 40 pounds on top of that.
Yeah.
And I,
wow. Yeah.
It was, and you know, it was because I believe because I was so unhappy with what was happening in my life. And then I had some physical issues where I herniated discs in my neck and I was bedridden for a long time. So that, you know, didn't help. And then I never been able to get back to the physical level that I was at prior to the injury. And so that was a factor because now I wasn't able to exercise like I had been. And so the weight has stayed on, though through working with you last year already? Yes.
Yeah.
I saw losing track of time a year ago. Working with you and then before you, Marcia Prater, you know, I lost 30 pounds. And it was not difficult, I have to say. It was probably the easiest thing that I have ever done. And the biggest part of it is, you know, really digging into all those things that have accumulated for all these years, like you were saying. You know, one of the things for me was my aunt, from the time I was little, used to call me a klutz. Now, what does that have to do with weight? Well, nothing. But, you know, it's that critical belief thinking, oh, well, I'm a klutz. And all that registers in the subconscious mind.
Yes, it does. And a klutz is sort of your body's fault. If you think about it, it's like that's a body, you know, reference in a way. You're right. It's absorbed negatively. And you're right.
Right, right. Yeah, and, you know, and when I look at it, even though, when I was in my 20s and 30s, she still called me a klutz. I was in gymnastics in high school. You know, I was a good athlete. I was far from a klutz.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, I don't know where she got that from, although I do tend to break glasses a lot.
No. Yes.
I'm not good with dishes.
No.
But usually usually that's because they're in the sink and they're waiting to be washed because my dishwasher's broken and they end up getting broken in the sink. But anyway.
Yeah. But still, but you're right. And it's just, it's realizing that if we take a moment and think about the things we believe about ourselves and then backtrack to where we heard it first.
Right.
Okay. Let's say someone can do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you really take the time to backtrack to where you heard it first or who said it and what groups of people kept saying it, then sit there, you know, consider the source always and then say, were they right? Who are these people? Who are they now? What did they become? How did they know? And what gave them, you know, privy to that knowledge? How could they put a label on me? You know, is it even true?
Right.
And a lot of times, you can be, right now, you can heal that. You can go, no, it's not. It's not true. That was just not true. And I see that now, and I don't have to believe it. I don't have to choose, you know, I can choose not to say those words to myself anymore. And when they say it, I don't have to laugh. It's not funny anymore. I can just get rid of that label. I'm grown up. It's done. It's over. And you can just really shrug it off. It's not easy. I'm not saying that's easy. But that's a start in the right direction. It's turning your back on the things that just aren't true and just aren't yours and only keeping your front side to what is. Because we see everything in our front, right? It goes right in the solar plexus. And that's how we receive. Whatever we're looking at, our bodies, wherever our bodies are turned to, we can take in. So physically in your mind, just turn your back on the people or things or comments that aren't true.
Right. And sometimes I think that can be difficult because then your mind gets in this argument with you, especially if it's family members who have said these things to you or about you in the past, because, you know, we can't go against what our family has said, even if we don't believe it as an adult. And I think that's where a program like yours or working with a coach is extremely helpful. Where you might not be able to get the same results or same level on your own. And I know for me, that's personally true.
Yes, I have to say I agree with you with that because it wasn't until I was coached and then went into coaching that I found this all out myself. And I agree. It takes a partnership with somebody like that to give you kind of like what I'm saying, the tools or the lingo. You know, there is lingo out there that our souls recognize. We just have to listen to it. We just have to tune into that. We don't have to always look behind us to who's always been telling us the words and the funny stuff. And, you know, it's not. So to learn something new, you have to do something different. And you have to listen to read books and go to lectures and seminars and only the ones that draw you in and the one, you know, take what speaks to you, leave the rest, right? But there's one phrase that I love, and it's called, let me disappoint you. And you can say, it's not easy to say, but even in your head, if you hear something, you know, at a family function, or you're just tired of hearing something, or, you know, you've kind of outgrown a certain title, right, or label.
Mm-hmm.
And just think in your head, you know, okay, how can I disappoint them right now by not accepting that? I don't have to accept every hook that's thrown to me, right, or any, you know, I don't have to volleyball anymore. You can just sort of look and go, oh, wow, that was a long time ago. But you don't have to accept it. And by standing up for yourself that way, just once, it's easier the next time and then the next time. And then you find you're not getting those volleyballs anymore because it's not fun to play with you.
Right.
And it's not fun to play when there's only one person playing.
Right.
And you can just kind of go, oh, that's really cute, but wow. You know, but you don't have to go laugh, haha, yes, that was me, I know. I'm always the this one or, yeah.
Right. And I, you know, I find in my own experience, not just with myself, but with other family members and some family members who have passed that weren't accepted in the family because they were different. And still some family members make fun of these people. And this just actually happened over Easter. One of my grandmother's photo albums was just given to my brother. My aunt, who passed away in July, had them in Florida, and her husband got two of the albums up to us, which was very considerate and thoughtful for him to do that. And so we were looking at photo pictures, and I'd been working on the family tree for quite a while, and I'd been promising my father I was going to show him the things that I had discovered. And so I brought out all the paperwork and showed him all kinds of articles and on our family. Our family was pretty well known in Newport, Rhode Island, where I'm from. And I came across my great uncle Arthur's death notice, and my father made a comment that was very disrespectful. And I turned to him and said, "Well, gee, Dad, you know, obviously he wasn't a bad person because he was General MacArthur's personal secretary. So he had to have done something right." And silence. So, and you know, sometimes it's not just things with yourself, I think, but things that have gone on in a lineage, sometimes I think it's important to say, well, you know, I don't think that's really true, and see where it goes. From what I'm experiencing is my family is changing, and my brother, who is just as prejudiced as my father, is suddenly becoming much more accepting of people in the family who live different lifestyles. And it's not as scary as it seems to be when you step out of the box that your family unit has kept you in, which is not true for you. So I want to encourage people to really think about that and expand on your thought, you know, on that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree absolutely, 100%. And because that's the thing. It's like, you know, we're only for a few years. Are we in somebody else's care? Mm-hmm. And that means we're in their box, and that's fine. We're born into a family, our mom and dad, and whatever they think and believe, and we do too. But then we grow up, and we're supposed to branch off and become who we're supposed to be. And it's not always the same exact belief system. And when it's not, it's probably a heck of a lot easier if it is. But if it's not, you're right. You have to honor that. And that's when you'll notice. You'll just notice everybody else around you. You know, your soul gets insulted before your ego does. You know, there is a difference. And, you know, you're not offended. You're just insulted on a soul level, just going, that's just so not me. Like, you know, because you're just grown away from that.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think at some point, though, when you've really done the inner work, I think for me, I have stopped becoming offended.
Yes.
Because I realize it has nothing to do with me. It's their opinion or it's their perspective, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with me.
That is right, and it never has.
Right.
That is that beauty. That's that moment of nothing can hurt you without your permission. Not one person can. And because you're not accepting it. It's just a boomerang. It's not a boomerang. It's just sort of bouncing off. Somebody is just saying something, projecting who they are by what they say and think and feel to you or around you or raising you that way. But it doesn't mean it has anything to do with us.
Right, because they're just operating from their own experience and their own filters. And I know for me, when my youngest child, who's now going to be starting the senior year of college in a couple of months, hard to believe, But when Ryan was 6 months old, I had taken a parenting course. And a couple of months later, I was at a barbecue at my grandmother's house, and much of the family members on my mother's side were there. And I just sat back and watched everybody interacting and with each other. And it was that one parenting course that really sort of propelled me into searching and learning about this type of behavior. And it was critical parenting. And it has gone on in my family for generation after generation after generation. And I have to say that, you know, at that point, I made a vow to myself and to my kids on a mental, emotional level that the buck stopped right here with me. I was not going to raise my kids like that. And it's hard work to change when you have a whole family unit and you're used to seeing things in a certain way and the way that they do things, and it's hard to go against that system. And that's where it can be really beneficial to work with, a coach to help you through those times.
Right, and that's right. I agree, and because it is hard. It's hard. That's sort of like the black sheep, you know, of the family. It's the one that just doesn't go along, and they just know something on a soul level that the others are resonating on a different level with. They're just operating out of their soul. It's not being accepted or something, you know, a different type of resonance. But you're right, and as you grow older, and you were always the one on the outside or, you know, not quite participating, then finding a coach or, you know, talk or something or your own inner work, mm-hmm. with books and seminars, it can be on your own, mm-hmm. is important. And to just read and find the things that resonate with you to just make you feel stronger and more at ease in your own life, your own body, spirit, mm-hmm. your mind, body, and spirit.
Right, right. Yeah, listening to radio shows like this.
Exactly, like
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And the thing also that I have found is when you can be the black sheep and be okay with it and step into your own power and learn who you are and become a partner with yourself, is that what happens is the family unit begins to change
right.
for the better.
It does, and sometimes other family members in the family unit want to change too. They're just not wired that way, but they look to your strength, and
right.
you can. They will gravitate towards you, and you can start something. And another thing is, as we all become adults, we often marry people. We have to remember we're all extended families too, so
yes.
we have to be careful and look at who we're marrying, because we often marry somebody who's going to support the old system and not necessarily marry up in our soul level, because it's familiar, it's easy, and
right.
our family loves them. So we often grow out of that too, and we're creating, you know, a different scenario. So sometimes it's very hard to leave or change or work within a marriage,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, when you have children and all
right.
of this. And it does compound. And it doesn't mean it's insurmountable. It doesn't mean that at all. Because you can live perfectly happy if yourself is connected, even if others in your family are not. Because then you're at peace. That is what peace is.
Yeah.
When you're not at peace, you still feel alienated, disconnected, and not only that with yourself, but with your family.
Right.
And I'm really speaking from personal experience. I am at peace, and I don't come from a background where I am exactly like everybody around me. I'm not like my husband. I'm not like a heck of a lot of family members, and not negative at all. They're beautiful people, but I'm okay far more now with me than I was with me before.
Yes, yes. And I totally feel the same way myself. You know, it's almost like we have a lot of parallels in our lives and where we're at in our life right now. And, you know, that's a big thing in Al-Anon, where no matter what's going on around you, you have to be at peace within you. And, you know, so again, you know, whether you work with a coach or read or listen to radio shows, you know, the important thing is to get information somehow that makes sense for you, that helps you become the person who you know that you're meant to be, and who you are and who you can be, regardless of what anybody else has told you in the past.
Right. Well, right, absolutely. And almost, and I love the way you say that, and almost in spite of what everybody else has told you in the past. It's like, that's almost like in spite of, because that's the point. You know, it's just to work on yourself, because you can never change anybody else. We can't even try. Because the stuff I've done and learned and grown from, I can look at people in my life and I have two heads. You know, it doesn't resonate with them, and that's okay.
Right.
But
right.
It does with you. It might with somebody's audience. It might be with my clients, and that's fine. And so.
Right.
And that's
right.
The point. It's like, it's finding your own inner harmony, and then you can look at other. You can find your place, and it doesn't mean it's wrong. It means you're now in harmony, even in your own family, because you're at peace with yourself.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I was the black sheep of the family. And, you know, interestingly enough, as I have, I'm starting almost getting into my crone years here now. now I'm held in very high esteem in the family, which is very interesting, because I always felt like, you know, I was the black sheep. I was shunned. I was no good. And, you know, it affected my life for sure. And it wasn't until I really was able to do a lot of personal work, and I read a lot. I listened to a lot of books on tape. I did a lot of free stuff online. You know, this doesn't – if you're sitting there listening and saying, well, I can't afford a coach, how can I do this? I encourage you. There is so much online that is free. Get out there and look for it. Tune into Hay House Radio. Tune into my show. You know, there's so much out there. Go on Susan's website and see the you know, we all give some kind of tips on our websites and things like that that can be helpful.
It's true. I mean, I offer, and I know you probably, I don't know, but I know a lot of coaches offer a free 20-minute introduction call. Like, we talk and find out if it's a good fit, but there's always something. And, yeah, like at the May 4th event, I'm going to be doing one-on-one laser coaching. Everybody will get to come to me for, like, 10 minutes or whatever and ask a question, and I hope they walk away, you know, with a different perspective and something they can go home and work with.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, I know
I love doing that.
Yeah, and I know from my experience with working with you, I'm very confident that anybody who is able to see you on May 4th will walk away with, you know, some piece of information that's really going to help them in their lives.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. I mean, I really mean that, and that's from, you know, firsthand experience. And so if there's anyone who is in the Portland, Maine area, who is going to get to the Portland, Maine area on May 5th, you do have to buy tickets for this event, because it is limited in size due to the nature where it is going to be. There is going to be one-on-one interaction. So, Susan, can you tell people how they can find tickets for this event?
Yeah, it's at leapinlizards.biz, I believe, EAPIN Lizards, LIZARDS.biz. And then it's through the calendar. And they're handling the whole thing, the promotion, the ticket sales, on my website, SusanTMullen.com. There's a link, as well as my Facebook page, Susan Mullen, Intuitive Living. So I have links on to Leaping Lizards, Mm-hmm. And to get the tickets that way. Anybody can email me, too, for information.
Okay, and what's your email address, Susan?
Susan@SusanTMullen.com. M-U-L-L-E-N.
That's easy enough. So there's plenty of opportunity to find you, find the tickets. And, again, it is a very limited number. It's going to be very small. 50 people, is that correct?
Yes, up to 50 people, mm-hmm. and or 50 will, you know, we will hold it to 50 people, and I know right now there are still tickets available.
Right.
And we're doing a last shout out. We're gonna, you know, do a last promotion bit. So we hope it sells out or, you know, soon. So.
Right. Right. Well, we don't want people to miss the opportunity either. So if you're listening, and again, you are able to attend that event. I really encourage you to get your tickets now so you don't miss the opportunity of being there. And it's from 1 to 4, and it's only $29. And you get to work with two of the top people in the field out there today. You know, Susan is a certified coach in the Envision process. Michael J. Chase is a Hay House author, published author and speaker, and he's got a new radio show coming out on Hay House Radio. So you get to work with these two phenomenal people, you know, that who knows when you'll have the opportunity to work with the two of them again. So I really encourage people to take advantage of this if they possibly can. And you know, check out Susan's website, SusanTMullen.com. And, you know, my website, CynthiaFontaine.com, you can find both of us on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter. I don't know, Susan, are you on Twitter?
No, I'm not yet. That's in my probably near future.
We'll get you set up on that and get you automated.
Right.
Because,
right.
Social media is a lot of work, and it takes focus and time out of our day to do the social media. Though we love interacting with you guys, it's hard to cover all the social media bases and still do the things that you know, we need to get done during the day, like get our programs organized and together, and get our events off
right,
the ground.
Exactly. I need a social media expert, I think.
right. Yeah, so if there's any social media experts out there who, you know, maybe can work out a barter or something, get in touch with us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so, Susan, we only have 3 minutes left. So could you give our listeners any last insights or thoughts, you know, into your program or into just some helpful tips?
Yeah, I mean, if I could have everybody just walk away with something tonight, it would be to look at all parts of your mind, body, and your spirit as partners and not against each other. And that contentment is really when what we say, think, and feel are in harmony. So, you know, that's it. And if it's not, then look at the pieces that are in disconnect and see where you can work on that. Give yourself a hug. Give your body a hug. Give your soul a hug and say, thank you. Please be in charge. Introduce your soul to your body and your ego and say, you two need to be friends because the soul is in charge. And she's leading my life. He's leading my life. Teach your children this. Like, pass this down. It's not crazy talk. It's real. It's going to keep them from looking at magazines and wanting to be skinny. And you know,
which those magazines are all airbrushed and phony anyway.
And just sort of that self-esteem thing. And it can start that young. And it can just be, hey, just make sure, you know, your higher self is in control because that's the one that knows best.
Right.
And not listening to all the mind chatter, the monkey chatter, the opinions of friends, the opinions of the world.
Susan, we have 10 seconds left. I want to thank you so much for being on today. I know
thank
it was
you.
Last minute, and I we'll have you on again because my guests, my listeners love you. I love you. I can't wait to see you.
I love you. I can't wait to see you. Soon.
Definitely soon. And then I think Susan and I are actually have an event in the works together. So
I know. We might be doing it ourselves. Yep.
Yeah, so look for that down the road. I love you so much. Thank you all for listening. I will see you all next week. I hope everyone has a fabulous week.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I can't believe that my computer blew up.
We did it.
How funny is that?
I know. I can't believe it. I'm surprised the phone didn't blow up.
Oh, my God. Okay, now I'm off the air. Can you hear me on the air anymore? I should be off.
Yeah,